Chapter 4, Getting There, Turning Points of Personal Resilience. Spiritual teacher, author, and lecturer Marianne Williamson reminds us that, quote, personal transformation can and does have global effects. The revolution that will save the world is, ultimately, a personal one, end of quote. On September 11, 2011, the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America, Time magazine created a special edition dedicated to honoring the way in which individuals, families, and the nation hard hit by the tragedy have been able to carry on with life and living. It was titled Beyond 9/11, Portraits of Resilience, and the title says it all. If there was ever a question as to the role that resilience has played in America's recovery, the first sentence of the special edition put it to rest, calling resilience the theme of the nation in the 21st century. Through intimate stories, shared by citizens and leaders alike, Time sought to define what it means to meet adversity and then overcome it. While we often hear about the resilience that allows us to move beyond the hardships of life, could there be more to the word than that? Is there a form of resilience that can be cultivated with a bigger picture in mind? Is it possible to live each day in a resilient frame of mind that softens the impact of dramatic change rather than trying to achieve resilience after the fact? The answer to this question is a resounding yes. It's the reason I've written this chapter. Cultivating resilience is a part of a trend that's gaining a foothold throughout the world. In choosing a path of resilience within ourselves, our families, and our communities, we can create positive turning points in our time of extremes. In addition to minimizing the hardships that can come with unexpected change, many people have discovered that the building blocks of personal resilience are a great way to live as well, and one that makes sense in light of today's world. Resilience. What does it mean? Resilience means different things to different people. The differences are defined by varying cultures and age groups and even the way the word is used. The requirements for resilience in the routines of a couple just starting life together, for example, are very different from those for partners who've been married for 50 years or more. For teenagers in the Western world who depend upon their parents for the basics of everyday life, resilience means something very different than it does in the tribal setting, where young people form their own communities to care for themselves and others of a similar age. The principles that create resilience under battlefield conditions are tailored to a very different set of needs than those identified by organizations like the Post-Carbon Institute, for example, which explore what it takes to live sustainably in the era after peak oil. So clearly, resilience is one of those qualities in life that we must learn to adapt to our specific circumstances. While much of the research on this topic is offered with respect to entire communities and societies, the place where all resilience begins is with us. At the very core, this conversation is all about people. Our world of extremes is inviting us as individuals and families to think and live differently to meet our needs, and in some cases, leaving us little choice other than to do so. So let's begin at the beginning. What does it take to create, develop, and sustain a resilient lifestyle, to live in a resilient way? In the modern world, resilience is often used to describe someone's ability to recover from something that has already happened, such as a devastating setback in life or a traumatic loss. The couple has shown tremendous resilience in healing from the loss of their son in the war, for example, is an expression that unfortunately has become far too common today. Or the resilience that my friend has shown after his wife left the marriage is an inspiration for us all, illustrates another way we often hear the term used. In recent years, it's become customary to hear resilience mentioned when describing the attitude and physical fortitude of entire communities and even nations as they recover from the devastation of hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and terrorist attacks. Resilience is not limited only to human experiences, however. It can be applied to any system, whether it's living or not, where dynamic change is involved. Over a period of millennia, the complex ecosystems of the Amazon rainforest, for example, developed the resilience in adapting to dynamic shifts in the Earth's climate. Today's sophisticated computer programs are said to be resilient. They can detect and fix software glitches that keep them from doing what they were designed to do. From the immune system that keeps us healthy, and the nervous system that keeps us safe, to the way we produce vital hormones and generate new blood cells that keep us alive, our bodies have multiple and interconnected systems that we depend upon for our lives, and each one of these systems has its own form of resilience. While the American Psychological Association defines resilience as, quote, the process of adapting well in the face of adversity and bouncing back from difficult experiences, end of quote, the Stockholm Resilience Center identifies resilience as, quote, the capacity of a system to continually change and adapt, yet remain within critical thresholds, end of quote. It's the theme reflected in this second definition that best illustrates our expanded view of resilience for the purposes of our turning points. We're talking about a way of living and being that gives us the flexibility to change and adapt to new conditions, which is the key to transformation in our time of extremes. As universal as the phenomenon of resilience is, interestingly, I've found that many cultures have no single word in their language that actually reflects what it means. The only way that someone speaking in one of these languages can share the idea of resilience is to string together a number of unrelated words in their native tongue that will approximate what the single word means in English. During a book tour through Central Europe, for example, I was describing the principles that would become the core of this audiobook when I discovered how such a disparity in words can play out in the real world. During my onstage presentation, I was working with a translator using consecutive translation. This simply means that I would speak, then he would translate, then I would speak, and so on, as compared to a simultaneous translator, where the translator's in another part of the building, speaking his or her translation directly through the headsets of those in the audience listening. Suddenly, the entire presentation came to an abrupt halt when my translator found himself engaged in a lively conversation, not with me, but with members of the audience. Surprisingly, they were debating the way he had just translated the word resilience. While I'd assumed that there would be an equivalent word for my ideas in every language, it was at that moment that I discovered this is not the case. Just the way English speakers have to put together the separate words, such as life and force, to approximate the single Hindu word prana, for example, there was no single word for resilience in the language my interpreter was using. As an aside, I also learned that it's good to meet with the translators before the presentations to iron out such potential wrinkles. While the idea of resilience and what it means may vary for people of different age groups and cultures, the way it shows up in life does not. We find the elements of resilience in two places. Number one, in the way we think. Number two, in the way we live. Through one or a combination of these two expressions, some form of resilience is found in every facet of our experience. From our emotional ability to cope with the stress of big change, to the physical ability of our bodies to resist illness and disease, and the ability of our minds to resolve the psychological impacts of trauma and loss, there are clearly many facets of resilience. It's also clear that these facets play a big part of our lives each and every day. For the purposes of this book, I will address two general forms of resilience. First, the personal resilience that will be explored in this chapter, and then the community resilience that will be covered in the next chapter.